Can't talk about politics in Haiti. Certainly in the Western Hemisphere, what the U.S. does has a huge influence on politics throughout the region. But also campaigning in the United States can be a tactic that works in places like Haiti, which this year on November 28th, where it holds its presidential and its parliamentary elections, is expected to be the most expensive election of all time in that country. And it doesn't cost as much to run a campaign in Haiti as it does in the United States, but it's still big numbers from a Haitian perspective. Joining us now to talk about the U.S. tactics, the U.S. campaign strategies for winning a presidential election in Haiti is Jacqueline Charles, Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald, who joins us from Port-au-Prince in Haiti. Jacqueline, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
And Elda James joins us from Dorchester, Massachusetts. She supports Joseph Marcel Martelli, a well-known musician who goes by the name of what, Elda?
Sweet Mickey.
Sweet Mickey. Okay, so you actually organized an event for Sweet Mickey, who's a candidate in Haiti, among people who can't vote in Haiti, but are very influential. Describe the event that you organized.
Good morning. I want to say good morning to the reporter from Haiti as well.
Jacqueline, Elda, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi.
We organized on October 9th a fundraiser for Mr. Martelli in the hope of mostly presenting him to the Haitian community in Boston to explain his platform and what he hopes he can achieve in Haiti, or at least begin the work that is needed in Haiti. This happened on October 9th here in Boston. Several hundred people came, and it was a very successful evening. And we're all happy. The committee that that was formed here in Boston, we're very happy that this took place.
All right, that's Elda James, who organized an event in Boston to support a presidential candidate, Sweet Mickey, in Haiti. Jacqueline Charles in Port-au-Prince. How does this work? Is it about money, or is it about family members, you know, influencing people back home to vote a particular way? Sort of the Sarah Silverman gambit, which she did in Florida, your home state, there during the 2008 campaign.
Yes, it's actually about both. You know, you have a situation today in Haiti where the country is trying to recover from the devastating January 12 earthquake. And as a result, things have become very expensive. Money, you know, is not as available today as it was in 2006, the last time there was a presidential campaign that was going on. So as a result, when you have a candidate like Michel Martelly, Sweet Mickey, you're looking to help provide some funds for your campaign because observers are saying that in this campaign, you know, it's going to take probably $20 million to have a winning shot. If you think about a rental car today, it's probably $200, $250 a day in this country. So as a result, they travel to Florida, they travel to Boston, places where you have huge Haitian American communities, and they stop for dollars but also for support so that those individuals can call their family members back here in Haiti who may be apathetic or not interested in voting and saying, hey, I met Michel Martelly or I've been reading about him. I think that this is somebody that you should vote for, that you should consider voting for.
So the phone banks are a lot of very long-distance calls from the United States to Port-au-Prince and places around Haiti. But I'm wondering if your average Haitian – hearing numbers like $20 million here and there and, you know, a $12,000 filing fee to even get into the presidential race gets a little cynical about this whole process.
Well, they are cynical, and not so much even in terms of the process, but just in terms of, you know, we keep going to vote, and where has it gotten us? I mean, this is a country that has been besieged by disaster. We had the four hurricanes back-to-back, which was unheard of in 2008, and fast for today, and here we are, and we're dealing with an earthquake. And so when you're on the streets and you're talking to Haitians and Haitian voters, I can tell you what I hear a lot of in the Capitol is that I don't see a candidate yet. I don't think I'm going to vote. There's a lot of cynicism about that.
All right, well,
let's
put that directly to Elda James. Jacqueline Charles says on the streets of Port-au-Prince, they're saying, I don't see a candidate yet. There's a lot of them in the race. I'm very cynical. How do you answer that, Elda James?
Well, I don't know that. I'm not on the streets of Port-au-Prince right now. I'm in Dorchester. But what I hear from the news and from pictures that I see on the net and word from the campaign in Haiti, On the 15th, when Michel Martelly announced the beginning of his campaign in Haiti, there were throngs of people following him all over Port-au-Prince, cheering him on. So I think that a great number of people have seen the candidate. We certainly in Boston, when we organized this event for him, had seen a candidate that we all thought would begin the process of rebuilding Haiti. And
it's certainly an interesting bank shot to raise the profile of a candidate by an event in Boston. Elder James, thanks so much for being with us. Jacqueline Charles, Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald, sort of take us out on this notion of Haitians believing in their government again. This was a theme right after the earthquake, hoping that this could come about. Is that this what this election is going to be about?
Yes, I very much believe that this election is going to be about this. There are 19 candidates, but 6 to 8 of them, very strong candidates, including Michel Martelly, and Haitians want change. The question is, which of these candidates will represent change and allow them to believe again?
And which of them will be most influenced by money coming from Haitians in the United States? An interesting set of issues. Jacqueline Charles, Caribbean correspondent for the Miami Herald from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Thanks so much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.